Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about today. Before I get started, though, just want to remind people to like and subscribe to the channel wherever you might be watching it. We're in a bunch of places now. We're live streaming on Odyssey, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Float. So be sure that you follow the follow our live stream at any of those places if you're listening to it live. Obviously, we're also on your favorite podcast platform. And so if you're listening to this later, you can just make sure you like there and subscribe to our channel. We'd really appreciate it. We're trying to really expand where we're reaching out to different platforms in case we get canceled on any of them. Also, just because it's nice to let people have a choice in what they want and how they listen to us. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about I got a phone call right when this started, and so I got distracted. So whoever called me just now, I'll get back to you. Okay, so what we're going to talk about is the future of the Latin Mass. I think most people who are watching this know I'm recording this on Tuesday, December 21st, 3 days ago on the Saturday, December 18th, the Congregation for Divine Worship released responses to Dubium. And yes, we all know the joke now is that I guess the Vatican actually can respond to Dubia after all. So they released this response to Dubia concerning the motu proprio Traditionis Custodis, the motu proprio that Pope Francis issued back in July that is restricting the traditional Latin Mass. And so what this does is, they say that what happened was is bishops had questions around the world about how to implement properly the motu proprio, how to properly restrict the traditional Latin Mass. And so these 11 dubia are answered. Now, there has been some speculation that there wasn't actually ever any, these dubia were not legitimate, that they just made these up. And I definitely think a few of them were made up, but needless to say, let's just say they're legitimate. And so it answers a number of different questions about this. And so, for example, the answers, like, let me just give you the first question. Actually, that's too long. It just has questions like, is it possible, according to the provisions of motu proprio Traditionis Custodis, to celebrate the sacraments with the Roman, with the Ritualis Romanum and the Pontifical Romanum, which predate the liturgical reform of the Second Vatican Council? I think most people, when they first read that, are like, what's he talking about? Unless you're a completely liturgy nerd, you might not even know what that means. But I'll break it down a little bit for you. Essentially, what they're trying to do is the Vatican would like to restrict the Latin Mass more and more as we go forward. The best way to put it is Pope Benedict, in his motu proprio Summorum Pontificum back in 2008, said that the Novus Ordo was the ordinary expression of the Roman Rite, which we call the ordinary form. The traditional Latin Mass, the 1962 pre-Vatican II Latin Mass, was considered the extraordinary form, the extraordinary expression of the Roman Rite. And what Pope Francis is doing is he wants to no longer make the Novus Ordo the ordinary expression, but the unique expression. You see, over and over in these responses, they continually hammer the drum that this is the unique expression. So it loves to say, in fact, just an aside, I kind of wonder if the rush to canonize both John Paul II, but particularly Paul VI, was just so that they could tag saints with the ordinary form, the Novus Ordo, the new rite of the Mass. Because over and over, they want to tag them. It says, for example, as we see, which sees in the liturgical books promulgated by the saints Pope Paul VI and Pope John Paul II in conformity with the decrees of the Vatican, Second Vatican Council, the unique expression of the Lex Orandi of the Roman Rite. And this is said over and over again, that it's a unique expression that was promulgated by Saints Paul VI and Saint Paul John Paul II, and it's in conformity with the decrees of the Vatican Council. There's a lot of different things about that you could challenge. For example, is the Novus Ordo actually in complete conformity with the decrees of the Second Vatican Council? For those of us who actually have read the documents of the Second Vatican Council, particularly Second Concilium Concilium, we know that there's a lot there's a lot of wiggle room there. That I think it's a very debatable point whether or not the Novus Ordo mass that was promulgated in 1970 is actually in conformity with the Second Vatican Council. And more importantly, more precisely, the actual implementation of how the Novus Ordo is celebrated throughout the world in most instances are almost definitely not in conformity with the Second Vatican Council. For example, the Second Vatican Council never called for turning the priest around. It never said anything about ad orientem. It talks about the Latin language being of priority. So I think that can be challenged. But the point is that what the Vatican wants to do is it wants to move from the Novus Ordo being the ordinary expression, meaning the main one, the one that most people experience, to being the unique expression. And if it's the unique, that means it's the only one, which means they want to abolish the traditional Latin Mass. I've noticed that some people don't seem to get that, don't seem to understand that they're explicitly stating they want to abolish the traditional Latin Mass. They say it over and over and over again. If it's the unique expression of the Roman Rite, then it's the only expression of the Roman Rite, if the Novus Ordo is. So therefore, they want to abolish the traditional Latin Mass. And so what's happening is, it's kind of like the analogy of the put the frog in the boiling water and he doesn't jump out, which is actually not true, but let's use the analogy anyway. And also it's this idea of a death by a thousand cuts, I think you could say. What the Pope is trying to do is trying to make it more and more difficult over time to celebrate the traditional Latin Mass and all the traditional sacraments. He wants to make it so that it's not, you would never see the traditional sacraments celebrated in a regular parish church. So the movement right now is allow it in these personal parishes, which would be like the Fraternity of St. Peter or the Institute of Christ the King, those parishes. We're going to allow it there for now, but we really don't want it. And it gets to the point where it's even comical. I think a lot of people have seen this, but in the first response, it talks about the fact that that a parish church really shouldn't have a traditional Latin Mass. In fact, in the original motu proprio, it was allowed. It wasn't allowed at all, but so many bishops simply disregarded that and didn't follow that now they're saying, well, it can be allowed if you get permission from the Congregation for Divine Worship. Because there was a lot of bishops were interpreting that to mean that, oh, you know, basically I just need to inform them, but I'm going to allow it. But they're saying, no, you need to get explicit permission. And if they do allow the traditional Latin Mass in a parish, then it says such a celebration should not be included in the parish mass schedule since it is attended only by the faithful who are members of the said group, meaning we don't want any intermingling of the unclean, i.e. those at the traditional Latin Mass, that said group, with those who go, the regular Catholics. We can't have them actually talking to each other. We can't have the people who attend the Novus Ordo Masses, to even know about that there's a traditional Latin Mass, maybe at 2:00 in the afternoon on Sunday. Parish forbid that they would know that, because they could actually show up and be infected by the unclean trads. And so it really is, it's launched a lot of memes and jokes on social media about the idea that we have peak ultramontanism, as I said, where now the Pope is literally approving every church bulletin in the world. Yeah, I'm sure the Orthodox are just enthused about reunion with the Catholic Church when this happens. And so the idea, though, is all these things. Let's just try to make it more and more difficult to celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. And also, let's squash the growth of the traditional Latin Mass. They know it's growing like crazy. I mean, they're not idiots. They know it's growing like crazy, and that's the problem. So not only do we want to make it more difficult and try to remove how many people will see that there actually is a traditional Latin Mass going on here, the unclean are gathering, but we also want to stop its growth. And the way you do that is, number one, outlaw traditional ordinations. If you don't have any seminarians being ordained in the old rite, they're likely not to want to celebrate the old rite. Now, there's a lot of speculation how this affects Ecclesia Dei communities like the Institute for Christ the King and the Fraternity of St. Peter. And so there's a lot of speculation. And the answer is, we don't know yet. Because it looks like they would have to be ordained in the new order, which would go against their very constitutions under which they were founded by Pope St. John Paul II in the case of the fraternity. So where we use John Paul II to support only having the Novus Ordo, we ignore him in his actions to, for example, establish the fraternity of St. Peter. Now, the fraternity is basically saying this doesn't apply to us because they're not under the Congregation for Divine Worship. They're under, I believe, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. I'm pretty sure that's the CDF. I think that's who they're under. And so they're saying this doesn't apply. Now, whether or not that's actually going to be the case, whether or not they're going to be forced to do the new rite ordination or not, we'll see. Another way they're doing this is they're trying to squash the growth is they're saying that every priest must concelebrate, and particularly at the Chrism Mass. Now, people might not understand why this is a problem, but if you think about it, somebody in the fraternity, a priest who's in the fraternity, joined a fraternity under the understanding that the very charism for which it was founded was to celebrate all of the old rite and exclusively celebrate the old rite. That's the reason it exists. And so if you force them to be ordained in the new, or I'm sorry, to concelebrate in the new rite, it really goes against their conscience, their constitutions, which means it's a violation of their conscience. And that's what they're trying to do. It's the litmus test. It's very similar to how we're forced to wear masks when there's really no reason to wear them. It's the litmus test. See, will you comply? Will you submit? And so now concelebration at the Chrism Mass becomes that new litmus test to see whether or not they will comply and get rid of them if they don't. Another way in which they are trying to squash the growth is don't let any new priest being ordained celebrate the old rite. So if you were ordained after the motu proprio came out back in July, then you have to get explicit permission, not only from the bishop, but from the Vatican itself in order to celebrate the old mass. And so they made it very clear too, that the Vatican did, that we're not just saying you inform us of that, but you have to get our permission. And you know that means they're not going to give the permission. And so that's another way they're trying to squash its growth. And so ultimately, like I said, the goal here is to change the traditional Latin Mass, the Novus Ordo Mass, from the ordinary expression of the Roman Rite to the unique expression. That's the end goal. No more traditional celebration of sacraments, no matter what. I would say also, I think, and this is something I was actually on this morning on Steve Bannon's War Room, and we were talking about this, and I said something, and I kind of said it without really thinking ahead of time, and he was shocked. Steve was shocked by this, but I said, I think the Pope wants schism. I think he wants schism. And I know that sounds crazy, and Steve Bannon thought it sounded kind of crazy too, but I really actually do believe this. I think this is an effort to ghettoize those who are attached to the old rite. And so for two reasons. First, so it doesn't infect the rest of the church. But then eventually, if you get them pushed out, maybe to the Society of St. Pius X, for example, then what you can do is once they're all at the society, you can cut off the society and say everybody who's in the society is excommunicated, and you know, who attends those masses or is a priest or a bishop of the society. And so what it does is it causes a schism, and it frankly, what it does, it gets rid of the undesirables in the church. And let's be honest, those of us who attend the traditional Latin Mass are the undesirables. Now, I want to make sure it's clear, even if you don't attend the traditional Latin Mass, you should be appalled by these actions. I called them in my article, which I linked to in the show notes, I called them in my article at Crisis last Saturday, spiritual abuse. These are wicked commands, and they are from a spiritually abusive father. And if you are a child of that father, you don't like it. You should not like it if any of your siblings are being spiritually abused. So even if you attend the Novus Ordo Mass every single week, and you've never even been to a traditional Latin Mass, I think honestly you should be appalled by this, because what you're seeing is your siblings in the faith, in the church's family, are being spiritually abused. And why do I say spiritual abuse? I really mean that. Hold on a second. Let me grab. I dropped my article. I wanted to read what it said. I said, an abusive father is a master at manipulation. He makes his children think they are the problem. He warps reality so that they think they deserve their abuse. And if they dare challenge it, he casts them as unloving and divisive family members. His children live in a constant state of self-doubt and confusion. And we're seeing that with what's the gaslighting that's going on. That they're trying to, people are trying to claim that the only reason the Pope is doing this is because of those crazy trads. those crazy trads are so mean on Twitter. They're causing schism. They're causing all these problems. And so we just have to do this. And as I've said once, I've said it a million times, if you're going to abolish, abrogate the traditional Latin Mass because of people like Taylor Marshall, then you have to abolish, abrogate the Novus Ordo because of people like Father James Martin. I mean, it's just so silly to think. By the way, that wasn't a dig at Taylor Marshall. It was actually saying something good about him. In fact, that was sent, but I know that that's what people think about him. I know that people think he's one of the main reasons why they're doing things like this, which is just ridiculous. If you really have a problem with somebody like Taylor, then you need to deal with Taylor directly. Have his bishop talk to him. Censor him if you have to. Excommunicate him if you have to, if you really think he's a problem. Which that shows the lie that they don't do anything like that, shows the lie to the idea that we're abrogating this because it is because of these mean trads. And so this is spiritual abuse being done by the Holy Father. It's spiritually abusive because it's basically making us think we're the problem. All we're trying to do is worship God in the way that our forefathers did. To think that wanting to worship God like somebody in 1920 did is somehow the greatest sin that we need to deal with and shows a schismatic tendency or anything like that. It is contrary to Catholicism. It is contrary to Catholicism because it attacks tradition. It attacks tradition. And our faith is based upon scripture and tradition. And if you try to undercut tradition, like by doing this, then basically you're undercutting all of Catholicism. And so I really think that this is spiritual abuse. I think it's something that is terrible. And I think all Catholics of goodwill should think it's terrible. And in fact, if you don't think it's terrible, I'll be honest, I question if you're a Catholic of goodwill. Because we've seen the left Catholics who have been rejoicing over this, saying they deserve it and things like that. Those are not Catholics of goodwill. We know that for a fact. And so I think all Catholics of goodwill need to oppose this. Now the question becomes, and kind of the title of this podcast is, what is the future then for the Latin Mass? If we look into the future, which of course we can't do perfectly, but if we look into the future, what do we see for the Latin Mass? We know before Pope Francis started cracking down on it, well, some of it because he's cracking down on it, it's been growing like crazy. The crisis, we did a survey last summer, right before the Motu Proprio came out, and we saw tremendous growth, at least in America, with traditional Latin Mass parishes. I mean, tremendous growth, up. It's doubling, tripling, even quadrupling in size. And I've talked to enough people in the country that go to traditional Latin Masses to say, parishes, that this is true. This is happening all over. And so we know that if nothing was done, this would have continued to grow. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that growth. We've talked about that before. I'm not going to get into that now. But now with the Pope clearly wanting to abolish the Latin Mass, what is the future for the Latin Mass and all the traditional celebration of sacraments? When I say traditional Latin Mass, I'm really talking about all the sacraments, so confirmation, baptisms. By the way, if you've never been to a baptism in the traditional rite, I really recommend it. Do it before they're gone because it's so beautiful. It just has so many more beautiful prayers. My last two children were baptized in the traditional rite. My first five were baptized in the new rite. And it's amazing that the additions, I should say the subtractions in the new rite, but the various prayers and how beautiful and symbolic everything is in that rite. But anyway, let's talk about what is the future? I think the immediate future is continued harassment, continued persecution of those who attend the Latin Mass, let's try and make it more and more difficult, really make it more difficult, which if you think about it, there's something ironic about that. Because if you look at the times of greatness in the church, it's when the church was being persecuted and the faithful were being persecuted and they'd go to Mass no matter what. You see that in the early church, for example. You see that in England in the 16th century, that the great saints of that era were those who would go to Mass or would celebrate the Mass even in spite of persecution. I was on with somebody, I don't know who I was talking to, but who compared what Pope Francis is doing to what Henry VIII did in England. And I think it's an apt comparison. The shutting down of the monasteries, which they're trying to do now with the making it more and more difficult to attend the traditional Latin Mass. So I think that's the immediate future. And I think what Pope Francis wants to do, as I've said this already, they want to move us all into a ghetto. And I think particularly they want us to move into the Society of St. Pius X. They want anybody who wants to go to the Latin Mass to have to go to the Society of St. Pius X. Now, maybe they would also be keep the fraternity and some other place like that. But then what they do is they can undercut that by, first of all, making it so the fraternity doesn't exist anymore, and also making it so that the society, those who go to that, are excommunicated. So there'd be a schism. Now, they could move everybody into the Society of St. Pius X and not excommunicate and just basically be almost like the Russian Old Believers. If you know that story from the, what century was that? I think 17th century, maybe 16th century, of the Russian Old Believers that were in schism from the Russian Orthodox Church. They were actually reconciled not too long ago. But I think that's kind of a goal, because I think even the Pope knows it's impossible just to make it so everybody who attends a traditional Latin Mass will stop attending. Now, I do want to say one thing to those who are really hardcore trads who are listening. I think that most non-hardcore people who attend the Latin Mass, if it was truly abrogated, if it was abolished, if, for example, you could not celebrate it without permission, if Rome gave no permission to celebrate it, so the only place to celebrate would be places like the Society, I think most people would attend the Novus Ordo Mass. I think most people would not go to a place like the Society. I think that's just realistic. First of all, there's only so many SSPX chapels in the world. There's not only so many places you could go. But if there was only underground TLMs, I think some would go to Eastern Catholic Church. Some would go to Eastern Orthodoxy. Some would leave the faith completely. We've already seen that with people doing that. And I think most of them would just go back to whatever the best parish they could find around their area where they lived. And so I think the Pope knows that would happen as well. I think it's awful, like I said, spiritual abuse, that if that would happen, because if they find that they can worship God better in the traditional Latin Mass, then forcing them to go somewhere else is just really abusing them spiritually. So I think that's one thing. I think also another possibility is of the future is simply that the next Pope is going to reverse everything this Pope does. Let's be honest. The Pope is 85 years old. He's not going to last much longer. And I don't mean that in some prediction like I know something about his health or anything like that. It's just most 85-year-old men won't last very much longer. There's a decent chance he's going to die within the next year or two. He could last obviously longer. But the fact is he will die eventually. We all die. And he will face his judgment. And when he dies, though, we're going to have another pope. And so there is a decent chance that the next pope would reverse these things. And why do I say that? I know a lot of people think, well, Francis is selecting all these cardinals. He's stacking the deck, so the successor will be Francis too. But I do think there is a decent chance that the College of Cardinals does not want the headaches that Francis is giving to bishops. That I think a lot of bishops would tell the cardinals they know, listen, do not elect another Francis. We've had one revolutionary. Let's take a breath and not have another revolutionary. Let's instead just kind of hold back and just have somebody who's a caretaker, kind of just keeps everybody happy by not doing things like that. So I think what I think it's possible that the next pope may not go a full Pope Benedict and go right back to that, but at least would reverse it so that you could celebrate the traditional Latin Mass more freely than you can now. So I think that's a definite possibility. And it's possible that we're going to see over the next few decades a bouncing back and forth between popes of, okay, you're allowed, you're not allowed, you're allowed, you're not allowed, which of course is awful, but I think that's a possibility. One thing I want to address is about the possibility in the future is there's been on Twitter, I got in a little trouble for this with some segments, but there's been this push, this idea that what we really need is maybe a traditionally celebrated Novus Ordo, that this is the best of all worlds, that instead of having this division between the old rite and the new rite, let's have a rite that has the best of it and has the new rite in form, but it really does things like ad orientem, maybe even in Latin, but different things, and really do it. And I have attended masses like this. I was in a parish that had a mass like this. That really was a beautiful mass in many ways. But this isn't the solution. This is not, it's just not going to happen. We for 50 years, people have been saying, let's have the Novus Ordo more traditionally celebrated. It's not. What you get at your typical suburban parish is what the Novus Ordo is, and in at least in how it's actually being celebrated. And I don't think that's going to change. I know for a long time we've been saying, wait till the young priests come up. It's going to get better. The young priests have come up, at least, because I was saying that, you know, I was saying that in the 1990s. It's now been almost 30 years since I've been Catholic. And I think it's true that this is what we have. It's not getting that much better, because what happens is a young priest who might be a little bit more traditionally inclined, he ends up getting beaten down or getting just kind of accepting the reality around him. They only have so much control. He can't control, for example, the liturgy committee very well. He can't control the musicians. And the people will revolt. And he knows that. He's like, I got bigger fish to fry. I mean, I'm actually trying to have sympathy. I'm not trying to attack these priests. What I'm saying, though, I'm being sympathetic to the idea that they have all these different things. And if they have not been trained that the liturgy, how celebrated, is the most important thing of their ministry, then I think they're just going to have it happen. So it's just not going to happen. Oh, somebody mentioned on in the comments that EW10 has a wonderful NO Mass. And I think I haven't seen it in a long time, but I've heard good things about it. Like I said, I've attended one for a long time. For about 3 years, I attended one. They do exist. Father Dwight Longenecker, who's a writer for Crisis, he talks about this a lot, and I've never been to his parish, but I understand his is. But the fact is, for 30 years, we've been saying, probably more than that, at least I've been saying, that we're going to, what we need is more traditionally celebrated Novus Ordos. I just don't see it happening. Hey, if I'm wrong, great. I just don't see it happening. It's just not happening. So I think, you know, Kevin says in the comments, you know, many Novus Ordo priests are holy, but fewer fearless. They are not bold. And I think that's true. I think that's what's happened, is that there's too much force against this. So I think that, I just don't think that's going to happen. You know, like I said, maybe I'll be wrong. So I don't think that's the future. I don't think it's going to be a future where we're going to have like Pope Benedict's ideal Novus Ordo that's traditionally celebrated, and that's the norm. I think we have the norm, and we just have to accept that the norm is that in most cities, most parishes are going to be poorly celebrated masses, but then there will be a few unicorns. And I think in most cities, most major cities, there's at least one or two parishes that do celebrate Novus Ordo in a more reverent form. But of course, that's not really a solution that we're talking about here. And so I think there also is the possibility, talking about the future, there's a possibility that the next pope actually is more pro traditional Latin Mass than Benedict the 16th is. I mean, it's possible than he was. So it is possible. I mean, God works in mysterious ways. Maybe all of a sudden Cardinal Seurat would all of a sudden be elected Pope. I don't think that necessarily solves all our issues, but I do think it would at least make things more receptive to a good way forward. I also think, here's another possibility, I think, for the future. I think it's possible that there will be a separation of the rites, that there will be two Roman rites, that the rite of the traditional Latin Mass will be one of the rites, and then the Novus Ordo Mass will be the other rite, that we'll actually just have, instead of two forms, we'll instead have two rites. Because after all, there are a ton of Eastern rites in the church. There's a ton of different ways that the liturgy is celebrated. So I think that we could see that happen, that a pope would say at some point, you know, this has been a headache. This is just not worth it to continually have this controversy, this fight. Let's just have it where that we have a whole new autonomous church within the Catholic Church. Again, there are 23, I think, churches within the Catholic Church. 22 of them are Eastern. One is Roman. I think they could say, we're going to just have another Roman rite, and it's going to be for the traditional Latin Mass. And then they would have its own bishops, and maybe that would be when they bring in the society and say, okay, you're going to be your own rite, and just, you're good, and do your thing. And I think that, and honestly, I think that might be one of the best possibilities. And I think then this is crass language, but we would see the market decide. We would see which one grows, which one is the one that retains members. And so there wouldn't need to be a debate anymore. We wouldn't need to fight about over which one is better. And what we would see is simply that the people would vote with their feet. And of course, the Novus Ordo rite would have a huge head start because of the fact that what is it, 99.9% of all parishes are primarily Novus Ordo. But I think that is a possibility that if they separate, then we could just see, okay, will there be growth in both, you know, or will there be growth in one? Will one take away from the other? And it's not like they're in competition. I'm saying that, but the truth is we have multiple rites right now that aren't technically in competition. They're just different ways for people to worship God. So let's do that. And if, let's say, you know, as traditionalists would say, let's say the Novus Ordo rite would eventually just kind of die out, then I think that just happens. And that's not a bad thing, because that means that wasn't fulfilling the spiritual needs of the people. And we're seeing that, you know, thousands of people are leaving the Catholic Church, and millions of people are leaving the Catholic Church under the current rite. Now, we could blame the rite, or we don't have to blame the rite. But ultimately, I think having two rites, you know, dividing the Roman rite into two could be the most peaceful, less prone to schism idea that we could have. So actually, that's probably one I'm going to vote for that I hope that happens. So these are all different things that could happen in the future. So I think that, again, I think the most likely short term under Pope Francis, at least, what's going to happen is continued harassment of those who attend the traditional Latin rite, traditional Latin mass, continued restrictions upon them. I think there's already rumors that in February there's going to be released more directives geared towards the Ecclesia Dei communities, because, you know, like they say, this isn't really for us. So I think that could happen as well. There'll probably be more harassment of those who attend, bishops who are on board with this, not allowing it, and things like that. So I think that's short term. Long term, maybe we'll have two rites. I think what we need to do is pray for bishops. A lot of people have been asking, what can Catholics do right now? I think obviously we have to pray and fast. We have to pray and fast. And we pray and fast for a couple reasons. First, because that helps make us more holy. And that's what we're after, right? That's what we want here, is to be more holy. So we pray and fast just and simply in order to be more holy. But we also pray and fast because we pray and fast for others to grow in holiness, to grow closer to Christ. Obviously, in this case, Pope Francis, we pray and fast for him, that he might draw closer to Christ and do God's will. But we also pray and fast because I think that helps us, reveals to us our path forward. What is it that we should do in going forward? How should Catholics respond to this? I don't have the answers of exactly everything we should do. I would say this, though. I think what we really need to do is, I think we need to encourage our bishops to be frank, ignore these directives from Rome. That there's a canon 87 that talks about that the local ordinary, the local bishop, has a right to do what he thinks is best for the spiritual good. It's a great canon. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to eliminate it at some point, because it understands the concept, the principle of subsidiarity, that the local bishop knows his people better than some bureaucrat in Rome knows it. And so instead of trying to have somebody, some bureaucrat like Bishop Roach, try to dictate what ordering parish bulletins, instead the bishop, the local bishops can do this. And they know better. And so they don't have to listen to some of these directives, or most of them, when they're thinking about the spiritual good of their own diocese. So it's my hope that the bishops will simply say, thank you, that's an interesting document, but it doesn't apply for the spiritual good. Implementing this directly would not be for the spiritual good of my people, And so he just would ignore it. So I think we can pray for that as well. I also think there are some signs for optimism. I think, like I said before, I think the next conclave isn't going to want a revolutionary like Francis is. I think there's a decent chance that Francis has overplayed his hand here, that he's so intent ideologically to crush the Latin mass that he doesn't realize that there's not a groundswell of support for his move within the hierarchy. I mean, obviously, there's not a groundswell of support within the laity, but I think also that there's not groundswell support within the hierarchy. And I think it's generating sympathy for traditional Catholics. I've seen it, except for the ideological leftists, most Catholics think this is just silly at best and abusive at worst, even those who have no affinity for the traditional celebrations of the sacraments. So I think there is reasons for sympathy because of that. And I think I would just call on trads, don't ruin that sympathy. Don't act like the stereotype. I don't think there's, I know in my own personal experience, the stereotype only applies to a very small number of people. That the vast majority of people I know who are attending a traditional Latin mass, they're not there as some ideological way to hate Vatican II or pro-Trump or some crazy thing like that. They simply believe that traditional Latin mass is the best way for them to worship God and draw closer to Christ. And so how can that be a bad thing? And it's not a bad thing. And so that I'll leave it at that. Let's pray and fast again for each other. Let's pray and fast for the Pope. Let's pray and fast that we would be given guidance on how we should proceed when we're being spiritually abused by our Father, which is unfortunately what's happening. So until next time, everybody, God love you.